Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. And a quick note, if you haven't done already, download the Voice FM app. All of the podcasts are on there and of course you can listen live. So today's show is all about the business of photography and neurodiversity, and I'm joined in the studio with the incredible Daisy Robinson from Robinson Road Photography based in Southampton. Daisy, welcome to the studio.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me, Matt. It's so great to be here. I'm a huge fan of the show. Got the t-shirt, you know, everyone knows. Love listening to the show, so thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're too kind. I didn't know I did t-shirts. No, I'm so thrilled to get you into the studio. We've got a jam-packed show and I'm really looking forward to unpacking that. And in fact, why don't we, let's kick off the show. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, thanks, Matt. Okay, so I am a photographer.
An amazing photographer.
Oh, bless you. That's kind of you. I'm a photographer. I specialise in two niche areas, weddings and brand. They're my two areas. I launched the business back in August 2021, so just after the pandemic. I decided to go full time and make photography my career. Mm-hmm. Started Robinson Road Photography. I've had a lot of creative and fun jobs before that, though. So obviously,
yeah. What did you do? What did you get up to?
So, well, let's see. Out of uni, I was a stage manager, so that was really good fun. Worked on some kids shows, Christmas shows, wrestling, panto, that kind of thing.
Brilliant.
I was a dance teacher at one point, so I was teaching adults with disabilities some dance moves.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I'm hidden. There's loads of hidden
things.
Hidden
talents.
Yeah, loads of hidden things. And I was a youth worker as well at one point. I've had a varied career of different creative and fun jobs.
Absolutely. And of course, charity executive for a while.
Yes. Yeah, so that was what I spent the most amount of my career doing is working as a charity executive for 15 years. And that was running small organisations, small charities in the local area. So Eastleigh, Winchester, all over Hampshire. Absolutely loved that career, built that up over 15 years. But then the pandemic happened, then lockdown happened. So I got into photography during the pandemic, actually. It's a good story, this one.
I'm ready to go.
My wife, Selena, was a crime scene investigator at the time, working for the Police.
Fascinating.
Yeah, brilliant job, really cool job. She would bring the cameras home during the pandemic because they weren't allowed to go into the office as much. So I got to have a go on the cameras and I found actually it came really naturally. And I really enjoyed using the cameras much more than, you know, using my phone camera or my little camera. So I decided to start a blog during the lockdown. And it was called 101 Things to Do with a 3-year-old in Lockdown. Which is something I didn't yet mention, is that I have a little one at home. He's 7 now. But during the lockdown, wanted to find a way to get my creative juices going because those creative hobbies that I had been kind of pulled out from under me, pulled out the rug, pulled out from under me when that pandemic hit, just like everyone experienced. And I needed something creative to balance my well-being. So doing the blog and using photography to get those juices going was a perfect way for me to learn how to be a photographer, to take these photos. So that's kind of how I got into photography.
Absolutely brilliant. And like you say, it wasn't really planned, the sort of going into the photography. But as you said, you know, your partner saw that you had a bit of a knack for it.
Yeah.
Getting the angles and getting the composition.
Yeah, definitely. She's my biggest supporter and she was my mentor for the first kind of few months where she had all the skills and the talent around using the camera. And she really shared that knowledge and those skills with me. And that's kind of become our little thing that we do together, which is so fantastic to have a creative hobby that you can do with your partner. It's a really good experience.
And like you mentioned there, the pandemic, of course, it pulled the rug out from a lot of people. Mm. And, you know, you've done a lot of singing, you're in a band, and all of those kind of creative outlets were sort of taken away. And you mentioned to me earlier that did have an effect on your mental health. What happened?
Yeah. So as I said, working as a charity executive when the pandemic hit, I had to furlough my staff team. So I had a lot of pressure on me to ensure that the business was still there for them to come back to after furlough. And I had a lot of pressure from the vulnerable people that we were there looking after and supporting. So there was a lot going on for me during the pandemic, you know, managing home life, the pressures of balancing that, working from home, caring for a three-year-old. And I really found myself unable to cope with the really intense experiences that I was experiencing from the pandemic, but also that come from being neurodiverse. So I have ADHD and autism, and the weight of those sensory experiences and the other experiences that I get from being neurodiverse, combined with the pressures of the pandemic, which we all experienced, it was really terrible, were just too much for me. And at that point, as we came back out and I managed to ensure that there was somewhere for my employees and the vulnerable people to come back to, once I knew that that was sorted, then I knew I had to mix things up. I had to change something for myself, and I had to tender my resignation for that particular.
Yeah, role. You mentioned, didn't you, it almost felt like it was a bit like Groundhog Day and something had to change.
Absolutely. It really was. It was doing the same thing day in, day out. And I just got to that point of burnout where I needed to make a change in my life for myself, for myself and for my family.
Oh, isn't it that day you picked up that camera for the first time, unbeknown to you, it was almost like a lifeline.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I didn't know it at the time.
Isn't it brilliant?
Yeah.
So let's have a little chat about neurodiversity. What is neurodiversity?
Okay, so neurodiversity refers to the different ways that a person's brain can process the information. And it really describes the idea that people experience and interact with the world around them in many different ways.
Interesting. And so previously I've had Dave Larkin on the show, and he's really open about the fact he's got ADD. And throughout his life, it's, you know, it's been a real challenge for him. But now he sees it as this incredible superpower that he's got, because it allows him to sort of focus in stuff. And in business, it's great because it really helps him achieve his goals. And I know that we actually attend the same networking group, Daisy and I. And last week you were really open about it. And you were saying that, you know, being neurodiverse from a photography angle, it actually, in some ways, you can see things or you see things in a different way that create these most amazing shots.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, but many of the like neurodiverse qualities that I have with ADHD and autism, they might sound like a disadvantage, but actually they really empower me in some really unique ways.
Yeah.
So hyperfocused attention to detail is something that I use, you know, when I'm taking a photo. That means I've got the capabilities to go and really look at the minute details in that shot to see what might be changing or improving. There's also things like having a systematic mindset for organising, which is obviously super helpful.
Yeah.
Having sensory sensitivity so that colours are much more vibrant for me, textures are more alive, and light is more dramatic. So that unique perspective that I have, that I see the world slightly differently, and I communicate, and it helps me to communicate a slightly different narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a brilliant USP, unique selling point, isn't it? You know, in a crazy kind of way. So you picked up this camera and you were like, I'm quite good at this. I can take. But at what point did you then think, okay, I'm going to turn this into a business? How did that pan out?
It was a catalyst moment for me where my mental health had dipped so far that I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating. Something had to change, and I woke up in the middle of the night. Well, I wasn't really sleeping. I woke my partner up in the middle of the night and said, look, I've just had this light bulb moment. You know, what if I turn the photography that we've been doing as a hobby, as a creative outlet, what if I turn that into a business and start my own business? And without hesitation, she was, yes, absolutely, go for it. And she was 100% behind me.
And later on in the show, we're going to be unpacking some of the challenges that you faced along the way. And it's amazing, because obviously I've spoke to about 18 different business people on this show now. And it's amazing the common themes that seem to happen throughout. Although people might have these challenges at different points in their journey, at some point they sort of hit them. And it's amazing to see how people overcome them as well. Mm. It is quite incredible. So I wonder then, you know, what is it that you love about being because it's not just wedding photography you do. You also do this thing, brand photography as well. And there's a bit of a difference, obviously. One's more commercial, I suppose. The other one is, of course, you know, special day.
Yeah.
But what is it you love just about photography as an industry or as this fantastic new career that you've carved out for yourself?
Thank you. Well, I really love the storytelling aspect of photography.
Brilliant.
That's what brings me to photography. That's what, you know, motivates me every day when I sit down at the computer to edit or whether I'm out on location shooting. It's capturing moments. So I really love to do candid photography, especially when we're talking weddings. Candid is definitely my bag. I love to capture those little moments of emotion, whether that be laughter and joy or whether that be a moment of high emotion and tears. Just capturing that moment of joy really fills me with satisfaction, you know. And then what I can do is I can look at the day as a whole, the picture as a whole, and work out what images I need to take to create a story. And then when I get home and I'm editing those images, it's really about curating to make sure that the colour's right in the edit, to make sure that the framing's right, the composition's right, the crop's right, and that you put them together and curate them with other images that are really going to tell that story in the way that the couple, if it's a wedding, want it to be told.
And there's an incredible amount of work that happens behind the scenes. Obviously, the people that, when you go to a wedding, they see you taking the pictures. But of course, it's more than just taking the pictures, isn't it? You probably spend double, triple, if not more time editing and pulling everything together. Is that right? Or have I completely overestimated?
Absolutely. So there is, you know, it's not just to turn up on the day and shoot. There's a lot of planning involved. So we'll work with our couples, firstly on a shoot before the wedding day, because it's great to give them an opportunity to get comfortable in front of the camera and for us to get to know them a bit better before the day of the wedding. But then on the day of the wedding, that, you know, there's a lot involved there. So we've already done the prep work with the couple. We've already got a schedule together. We know what shots we're going for. If we're being a bit more creative, which, you know, we love to be creative with our weddings. So if we're being a bit more creative, we're looking at, okay, what kind of drone and aerial shots are we going to get of the day? What wedding content can we create that the couple can then use on their social media channels? So there's a lot of planning involved. And then afterwards, obviously, lots of days editing. We start with a cull. So that's where we go through and reduce our images down to the best ones of the day. Then we go through and edit individually every single photo.
So it's like shortlist them. You're like, no, that photo didn't make it through the judges' houses. Sorry.
Yes, exactly. Although I'm really excited because actually in the low season, I'm going to be upgrading to a bit of AI software that is going to do that culling process for me. So I'm super excited about that advancement in AI and technology.
That sounds like a show in itself.
Oh my goodness, AI is definitely a show in itself.
Let's talk about that. But before we're just going to take a short break in just a moment. But before we do, when you're not taking photos and running your business and, of course, you know, being a parent, being a partner, all that sort of stuff, you are a part of a band. Is that right?
You're absolutely right, yes. So I've been with the Wedding Toasters, as we are now known, since 2015.
Great name, by the way.
Thank you. It used to be Daisy and the Wedding Toasters, which, I mean, the story behind that is that when we got together as a band, I said to the band, I don't mind what the name is as long as you pick Daisy in the title. Anyway, so we specialise in bandioke, which means we do some amazing cheesy covers from the 60s all the way to modern day, and that people jump up on stage and perform with us and get to be rock star for the night.
So they can be the front man or woman and they can be up there. And of course, rather than just singing into a mic with a backing track, you've got a full band.
You've got a full band, including backup singers.
Oh, it blows my mind.
It's so cool. It's a really cool experience, a really cool night.
Have you got any more of these events coming up?
Do you know what? We actually only have one more because we're actually evolving as a band. So we only have, there's one more chance. You have one more chance.
Not that we didn't even intend to plug this.
No. We hadn't even talked about this. There is one more bandioke. It's going to be New Year's Eve at the Stage Door in Southampton. I think you know the Stage Door.
I do.
Voice FM.
Yeah.
It's going to be our final bandioke. It's the best night in town. It's the best way to spend New Year's Eve, for sure. So get on the Stage Door. Tickets are already available. come on down.
Fantastic. Well, I think we're going to be there for sure. We've got to be. It's one last night.
Yeah.
So look, we're going to take a short break. We've got some music, but don't go away, because me and Daisy, we're going to be unpacking what it takes to be an incredible wedding photographer. Plus, we're going to be talking about brand photography and why that is important for your business. And Daisy is going to be sharing some incredible tips and advice on going self-employed. So if you're out there and you're thinking about taking the plunge, maybe you're thinking about starting your own business, this is the show for you. So don't go away.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything,
of almost any size,
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from £799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM, and I am joined in the studio by the incredible Daisy Robinson from Robinson Road Photography, based in Southampton. Daisy, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. That first part of the show always goes really quick. Anyway, part two. So, an exciting part of the show lined up. So, we've talked about what you love about being a wedding photographer, but what I'm really curious to know is, what does it take to be great at wedding photography? I'm pretty sure you told me a story once of you falling off a hay bale and inadvertently getting an amazing picture of a horse.
Yes.
it's up to you if you want to retell that story, but what does it take to be great at wedding photography?
Okay, well, we'll definitely come back to the horse story for sure.
Okay.
It takes preparation and really knowing your equipment. So it comes down to kind of knowing what lens you're working with, being comfortable with that lens, knowing kind of your batteries, your memory card, all the hardware, and understanding how that all works together. So in photography, there's the triangle between shutter speed, aperture, and what's the other one? Oh,
exposure.
Yes, thank you.
that was a complete guess.
And see, I'm still really new, and this is one of the things about it, is that I'm still learning. I'm constantly learning. I think I'm going to be a lifelong learner of photography, because there's so much to learn about it.
Well, some of your pictures, they're incredible at this stage of your photography journey, so no doubt it will continue to get better.
Oh, thank you. So knowing your gear, as clearly I've just demonstrated, you need to know your gear and your equipment, and that triangle, because that really helps you when it comes to light. So that's really important. You also need to know the different photography genres, because when it comes to wedding photography, you're pretty much covering all the photography genres that are out there. Mm. You know, you're doing portraiture, you're doing documentary, you're potentially doing a bit of boudoir. So there's a bit of everything in there. You're also potentially doing the same photography that you would do for product and commercial photography, because we're taking photos of all the little details,
the invites and exactly. The table decks and stuff like that,
and these are things that, you know, some of our couples will have spent hours, you know, putting together. And so it's really important that we capture images of those things that they've really put their heart and soul into, you know, for their big day. These are really important things for them.
Another
important thing that it takes to be great at wedding photography is people skills, for sure. You know, our couples have got to be comfortable with us, and they've got to build a connection with us. So it's really important that we can have that rapport, that we're friendly, we're approachable, we're easy to talk to. So hopefully our couples think that about us. The feedback we get from them says so. So that, you know, that's really important. And then you've got things like the storytelling. So being able to narrate that love story through the lens is really important. I mean, that's what we're there for. Let's face it. If you're booking a wedding photographer, you want someone who's going to narrate that love story for you for that day. So that's super important. And then there's the more kind of formal things, like being adaptable so that you can move, say, from a really darkly lit space. You know, maybe the ceremony's taking place in a church. Maybe it's really darkly lit. You know, you want to be adaptable to be able to shoot in that space. A, without a flash, so you're not disrupting the ceremony.
Yep.
But also you want to be able to really quickly change light from different lighting situations. So we're in the church, but then you're coming straight out, into bright sunshine, confetti shot. You really quickly got to change your settings on your camera to be adaptable for those different situations. And then there's the continued learning that I mentioned just a minute ago. And that's not just about learning in terms of the camera and what it can do and what the capabilities and the functions and all the settings are, but also in terms of, new skills and new trends. There's, the time is moving so fast. I think it's moving. Time is going to always move faster the further we go into the future. And what we're now finding in the wedding photography business is there are some really cool new trends coming in that we are going to jump on and capitalize on. So things like we are now specialists in drone and aerial photography, and that really adds to the elements that we can create when it comes to creating the wow picture.
Are you in charge of flying the drone?
Oh my goodness. Okay, now there's a story. No, I'm not, and I will tell you why. I think it's because, I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up gaming. I wasn't a gamer. I've consoles are not really my thing. But if you were a gamer and you did grow up gaming, then operating a drone is so much easier.
Yeah, it's the dexterity, isn't it? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being able to coordinate at the same time as look on the screen and know where the object is in the sky. So we went for a training session in the New Forest. Selena, my wife, took me. And she was trying to get me used to the drone. And at this point, this was when we started with drones. So we're talking over a year ago on our first model that we ever bought. And it didn't have damage collision. It didn't have collision avoidance.
Oh, so it didn't know it was going into a tree, let's say.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Literally, we're in the New Forest. We've chosen a massive area where there's no trees, right? There's one tree in the middle.
And you found the
only tree in the middle. And I'm just like, I can see it coming up and I'm thinking, oh, I'm fine. I'm on track to go past this tree. I'm not, it's fine. All of a sudden, I'm in the tree. And not only does the drone fall down from the tree onto the floor below, but it falls down onto my wife and son who were picnicking underneath.
Brilliant.
We've got a new drone now. So yeah, essentially what I've learned from that is Daisy doesn't operate the drone. Daisy specializes in the photography. Selena specializes in the drone. So as she grew up in a gaming household, she's much better at the drone than I am.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's absolutely brilliant, isn't it? I love that story. You're gonna have to tell us the hay bale story as well.
Oh, okay. So we were on an engagement shoot with a couple. And it was at an animal rescue centre. It had big meaning for them. It was somewhere really special. And we were in the kind of donkey horse shed taking some photos of them. And I'm kind of taking a few steps backwards because I'm working on a fixed lens and I want to get the perfect shot and I just need to take a step backwards. And over I go. So this donkey comes out of nowhere. And as I fall backwards, the camera takes this picture of this horse. I want to say horse. I don't know the difference between horse and donkeys. I'm sure you'll get loads of texts from people going, I know the difference between a horse and donkey. Anyway, I'm falling backwards and this animal is just looking at me and I'm taking this picture of it. And once we look back at the footage afterwards, it is just a picture that we can't stop laughing at. The way this animal looks at me, it was just this classic comedy moment.
Yeah,
and
I love that.
Of course, it made the album, so.
Had to. Have you got that picture printed up on a wall somewhere at home?
I don't, but my wife does. She said she looks at it when she needs to make herself laugh.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those mini moments. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely brilliant. If people want to check out some of your pictures, where do they need to go?
Okay, so we've got a website and we're on Instagram and we're on Facebook. You need to look for Robinson Road Photography for the wedding side of the business. So that's robinsonroadphotography.com, Robinson Road Photography on Facebook, or Robinson Road Photography on Instagram.
Nice. Watch the followers skyrocket.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So that's wedding photography and what it takes. Know your gear, great people skills, planning, you know, all this kind of stuff, which, to be honest, in pretty much any walk of business is
exactly
that. Probably rings true, doesn't it?
Yeah,
there's probably a lot of people out there going, yeah, I should probably do a bit more of that, or yeah, I should do a bit more of that. Let's have a chat about the wonderful world of brand photography.
Oh, brand photography.
What is that?
Oh, I love brand photography. So brand photography is about creating visually compelling images that really effectively communicate the message and the story of a business or a business owner, an entrepreneur.
So it could be an owner, it could be their business.
It could be an owner, it could be the business, it could even be a product or a service. But the way that I like to work is looking at the whole. So if I'm working with an entrepreneur, I'm looking at the whole person, I'm looking at them, their business, their background. And that's what brand photography is. It really encompasses, you know, the product photography, the lifestyle photography, the event photography, the headshot photography, and, you know, all of the different genres. It's, again, it's why it translates so well from weddings as well as brand. It's why I've got those two niches, because we're encompassing so many different styles and so many different genres.
I always wonder, because, you know, like any other industry, there's lots of competitors. There's lots of other people that are doing the same thing as you. But obviously, it's not what you do, it's the way that you do it. But what do you find kind of helps make you stand out? What's the secret sauce?
It's about being as creative as you can be with the clients that you're working with. So you work with some clients and they just want a standard headshot. That is absolutely fine. That is what they
want. You can do that.
I absolutely can do that. But the jobs that really get me going, that really excite me, are the ones where we're being a bit more creative.
Nice.
And that's where we, you know, you've probably seen on Facebook or on Instagram some of those reels that photographers put out there about the different creative ways they shoot. That's what I love. That's my jam. So, you know, if I'm lying upside down under a glass with, you know, a bowl of water on top and then a product hanging on top of it, just so I can get that look of that visual look that I want. That's what I love. I love to get creative and find new and interesting ways to photograph people, products, behind the scenes, whatever it is. That's what I like.
It's pushing the boundaries, isn't it? It's being right at the forefront of almost like, I bet is it a thin line between a great photograph and a really awful one? Is it like a really fine line?
It is such a fine line, but it's also, you know, it's subjective. We all look at an image and we'll take something completely different from it. And that is what another thing I love about photography and about being a photographer is that I can capture an image and it can mean one thing to me, but it can mean something totally different to you.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about it. Do you wish you'd kind of got into photography sooner? Are you sort of like, oh yeah, I should have done this years ago?
Do you know what? No. Because everything that's happened, that all the career experiences that I've had have led me to the moment I'm at now.
Totally get that.
And I wouldn't have the experience or the knowledge to run a business, I don't think, if I hadn't run charitable organisations for 15 years.
Everything leads up to that point, doesn't it?
Exactly. Everything happens for a reason. That's definitely kind of the way I feel about it.
Well, let's talk about that, because I before the show I said, Daisy, what tips and advice have you got for anyone that's thinking about going self-employed? You know, how can the listeners benefit from your experience? Because if we can inspire just one person to make that leap and start their business, then as far as I'm concerned, my job is done.
Yeah.
So what would you say? What are some of your top tips?
Well, firstly, I'm definitely about inspiring and supporting other people to start their own businesses, especially because I feel that I didn't have any role models in my life that were business owners to look up to. So it wasn't really on my radar. It wasn't something I considered, you know. So I want to be a beacon for anyone that's got a skill or a talent and that, you know, doesn't want to do their 9-to-5 anymore and wants to, you know, create something different in their life. I'm absolutely an advocate for that.
Brilliant.
In terms of the tips and advice, firstly, the importance of networking, for sure, the importance of networking, and certainly in broadening your horizons. I've been in with BNI now for a good 6 months, and it has opened so many doors for me. As I said, you know, we specialize in weddings and brand. But actually, there were other doors within the brand and commercial world that have since been opened for me. So I'm working with, you know, Sam King Architecture, again, through the BNI group. So now I've developed our photography, you know, into architectural photography.
And you've diversified. This is brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I've been working with Marnik Real Estate on real estate photography. you know, I've been working with Jungle Juice, which is another BNI group from a different chapter. They do e-commerce. So that's product photography that I've now expanded into as well.
Brilliant.
So I definitely, when you're starting the business, for sure, I definitely would caution trying too many new things going forward in the future. And that, you know, that's certainly something we can come onto. But when you're starting, absolutely network and broaden your horizons, because there's a lot of things out there that I didn't know about, either different ways of being a photographer or different ways of running your business or different ways of generating sales or different ways of marketing. All of those things, you know, being in the networking group just opens up all these different doors and avenues of things that I wouldn't have thought of before.
Wise words. Well, look, hold that thought, because we're going to take another short break. Mm-hmm. God, I just feel absolutely ecstatic. Honestly, it's like the feel in the studio right now. We're just absolutely buzzing. It's absolutely amazing. In part three, we're going to be delving into some of the challenges that you faced mm-hmm. along the way of, you know, starting your own business. And I'm really looking forward to unpacking that. Thank you for sharing the insights so far. And I really hope it's of benefit to the listeners. So don't go away. Join us for part three. We'll be back shortly.
Live and local. Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people, and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception, and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork. Both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then. So I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston, by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called Visosport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for Visosport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice.
You are listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I am joined in the studio by the wonderful Daisy from Robinson Road Photography. And we've been talking about, you know, the wonderful world of photography and the photography business. And we've been unpacking a bunch of stuff around, you know, what it takes to be an incredible wedding photographer. You know, what is brand photography? And we've also touched on neurodiversity as well in the workplace. In this part of the show, what we want to do is unpack some of those challenges that Daisy has faced in her own unique and amazing business journey, because it's often a winding road.
Yes.
We tend to get to where we want to get to, but we all get there at different times in different ways. So let's kick off, Daisy. What, you know, in your mind, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced in setting up your business so far?
Okay, well, before the break, we were talking about the different doors that have opened for me in terms of networking recently.
Yes.
And, you know, broadening my horizons in terms of the different photography genres that we've got involved with. But that's a double-edged sword, because wanting to do everything means that we're not really delving deep and niching, you know, which is what you need to do to be able to grow the business.
Because you end up spreading yourself too thin.
Exactly. So we're still relatively new, you know, we're just over 2 years old as a business. So we are still in that period of trying different genres, working out where our niches are, working out where, you know, where our skill set absolutely lies. So it's, yeah, one of the challenges certainly for me is wanting to do everything, but knowing that I need to niche down, for sure. Another challenge is probably valuing my worth. So thinking around kind of money mindset and setting my prices according to my worth, which has been really tricky actually, especially, you know, you think about, photography. And, you know, you hear the rhetoric from people, oh, say it's a wedding and you slap on several, you know, £100 extra. It's not actually the way it works when it comes to wedding photography, but I can see why people see it that way. You know, there's photographers out there pricing themselves. If they're, you know, if you're starting out, why not price yourself at, you know, £100 for the full day? You know, if you're starting out, it's a good way to get to get the experience. But equally, you can't make a business of that. You can do that for a small period of time, but you really need to quickly, invest in yourself and know what your value and your worth
That's
is.
That's right. I'm nodding. I'm thinking, yeah, no, it doesn't pay the bills, does it?
You have to really look at your numbers, and dumb down to exactly what, your average booking value needs to be and how many bookings you're expecting to get to be able to work out how much money you're gonna need to make within a year.
Yeah, that's good advice. And there's probably people out there thinking, yeah, I've been thinking about putting my prices up. Maybe I should.
Do it. Most people are undercharging.
Yeah, I think so. And what else? What other challenges have you faced along the way?
Okay, so another challenge that I've probably faced is around sales. So I've been in situations where I have listened to salespeople and I shouldn't have done. So I'm not going to go into detail, but I'm just saying that when you're new in business, you tend to be quite naive, quite open to everything, quite like I'm the yes person and believe everything that everyone tells you about you and your business. And that obviously helps them to drive their sales. But I didn't realize that at the time. Mm. And so kind of knowing that business world and, knowing that there are some things you need to say no to and understanding where people are coming from is really important. But that has been a challenge for me. And part of that comes from the fact that I'm neurodiverse. And so I'm thinking about things slightly differently to the way that other people think about them.
Yeah, it's interesting because you've got a stat here, which is 75% of neurodivergent employees keep their condition secret for fear of discrimination. I couldn't believe when I read that.
It's a massive stat. And even with the last 10 years, the shame and the stigma going and people being able to be much more open about their neurodivergence, it's still, so many people fear that they're either going to lose their job or they're going to be laughed at if they talk to their employer about it. And, the law says that your employer has to set reasonable adjustments for you. And it can only be a positive thing to have a conversation with your employer about something that's going to make your life easier, because that's going to make you more productive as an employee. So it's a win-win for everyone, really.
Absolutely. I mean, are there those sort of adjustments or those challenges, what sort of stuff tends to crop up?
Okay, so I'll certainly talk from my experiences, because everyone everyone who's neurodiverse is completely
affects
different.
Everybody differently.
Exactly. We're all completely different. But for me, it's been anxiety around new places and new people. So networking, joining the BNI kind of was an massive challenge for me, as it will have been for many neurodiverse people who have difficulties in social situations. It took me a good 3 or 4 months to be able to wake up in the morning and not instantly want to throw up and jump back into bed again before I'm at the point now where actually I'm really comfortable coming in. And it's about practice makes perfect. So certainly in those kind of situations, I mean, coming here today, my first time in the Voice FM studio was certainly filled with anxiety for me. So it's about when we came in, you probably noticed that I said to you, like, where am I going to sit? What's going to happen? Like, knowing in advance what's going to happen really does help me to set out what I can, my expectations.
Sure, yeah.
Certainly helps with the anxiety.
Yeah.
And then there's other things that I experience on a day-to-day basis. So difficulty really focusing on tasks. So working from home, it's really easy to be totally distracted by, the birds singing out in the tree, the squirrel climbing the tree because I'm sat in front of a window, the doorbell going or the post coming through the letterbox, and I can hear someone else in the house, making a cup of tea, and then my phone pings and it's just full of distractions. And so for me, it's about turning those distractions off as much as I can. So turning the doorbell off if I can, turning, my phone off, and even like literally putting it in a different space where I can't see the notifications coming in, and setting myself much smaller tasks as well and taking more regular breaks. So rather than working 9 to 5, I might do an 8 or 6, but I might have regular breaks during the day that allows me to refocus again.
Nice.
I also have difficulty in estimating time frames, which
when you're pricing up work,
yes.
I was thinking, oh crikey, yeah, that could be a challenge.
It totally is. And it's obvious often for me it's about trial and error, and but also about checking with other people. So if I can get, you know, if I've put together a time frame, I'll check with Selena, you know, what do you think of this? Is this going to work? And we're going to fit it all in this time, because I don't want to get that wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we,
yeah.
You know, as wedding photographers, we deliver our full album within 3 weeks to our clients. So it, for me, it's really important to make sure that I don't leave all of that editing to the last minute and, you know, have to spend the last 2 days focused on it because I haven't done, you know, the right, haven't planned, I haven't estimated the right time.
There are going to be so many people out there that I think can totally relate to this. I've heard people say, yes. Oh, I'm never sure. So I just double how long I think it's going to take me just to make sure.
I like that plan. Maybe I should do it. And of course, most of this stuff I'm talking about isn't just, you know, applicable to people that are neurodiverse. It's just that
it's all walks of life,
exactly, and it's just that it's just heightened for me and it's often on my mind.
Yeah,
and
sure.
The difficulty kind of overthinking that, and it's this kind of, you know, why you'll hear me kind of start to say something or start and pause because I'm overthinking. The number of things, the messages and signals that are going on, things that I can hear in my head is crazy. If you just come in my head and hear everything, it's a little bit crazy. But it's what I have to do is to get it down to one task at a time. Because I know what happens in the morning. I jump on the laptop, I see an email. Okay, I'm going to start dealing with that email. But then something comes in on my phone, a message. Oh, hang on, no, I'm going to start dealing with that.
This is me you're describing.
Right?
This is me.
Oh my goodness. And then suddenly something pops into my head, yeah, that relates to something else. And then I'm like, well, I've got three things I'm thinking about at once. How on earth am I going to manage this?
Oh, it's crazy. But yeah, do you know what? Fair play, because what you've achieved in the time that you've done it, I think is nothing short of incredible.
Thank you.
Based on some of that, you know, if you were to condense it down in a couple of tips for, you know, businesses and employers around neurodiversity, what would you boil it down to? Some of just, you know, your top three tips, really.
Okay, top three tips. Okay, so always assume that you have employees, customers and clients who are neurodiverse and plan for that. So like, don't just not think about it, or if you don't have employees or you don't think you're in clients, you've got to go at it with the approach that they are and plan for that. Definitely include, you know, your neurodiverse employees in any changes you make, because big or small changes can have a really big impact on someone who's neurodiverse. So definitely consult, you know, we've talked about planning, consult with them as well, is really, really important. And then it's about being flexible. That third thing is really, this is the most important thing. You've got to be flexible with your policies and your procedures. That's the only way that you're going to help innovate and bring your business and your employees in, you know, into the modern day, with understanding how people who are neurodiverse just need a bit of extra support.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Thank you for sharing that insight. Hopefully there's going to be some people out there that can, you know, benefit from that. I'm curious though, what's next for Robinson Road Photography?
What's next for us? That's a really good question. Well, I think you're going to see more wow shots from us.
Nice.
As we expand in, you know, we've got the drone going on with all our future weddings. So you're definitely going to see more wow shots from us. Loving that. You're probably going to see us at more shows. We're doing some wedding shows this season where we're actually going to be talking, and we've got a bit of a platform. We're talking about same-sex couples. And when it comes to posing and wedding photos, we're going to give some tips and advice and guidance at some of the wedding shows we're doing on same-sex couples.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. If something I always ask the guests on the show is, if you were to do it all again, what might you do differently? And what's the one thing you would probably do differently?
Okay, put your tax in a separate account, I would say. That would definitely be the one thing I would do differently.
That would really help.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's absolutely incredible. We're nearly out of time, but we've got this flyer on my desk as well, which we just want to touch on very, very quickly, and it's the BAM Festival.
It looks super exciting.
Doesn't it? And it's the Black Business Art and Music Festival, and we just wanted to give it a plug because it's happening on Sunday, the 1st of October. It's at the Guildhall, Southampton. It's a whole day just celebrating, you know, everything from, there's a black art exhibition, you know, everything to do with black business. There's a steel band. It's just this incredible community that's coming together, and yeah, you need to go. It's free to attend, isn't it?
Totally free. Get yourself down there.
Definitely get yourself down there. Well, look, Daisy, I've got to say, this has just been absolutely, it's been really eye-opening. I have to say. It's been absolutely eye-opening, and it's been incredible listening to, you know, the journey that you've been on. And I really do wish you the best of luck. You and your partner, Selena, it sounds like you've got this incredible business that's bubbling away, and I can't wait to see more of these, what did you call them, wow shots?
Wow shots, yeah.
Just remind us, if people want to check out your work and see, and I mean, honestly, you've got to see it. It's absolutely incredible. Where do they need to go? What do they need to do?
Okay, so check out Robinson Road Photography on Facebook and Instagram. And then if you're more interested in the business side of the business, so we're talking kind of e-commerce, products, the brand, photography, architecture, real estate, all of that, head over to Robinson Road Brand Photography, and that's got its own social pages as well. So Facebook and Instagram, Robinson Road Brand Photography.
Excellent. I love that. So do you want to shout out to anybody?
Of course. Okay, I have to shout out to the Toasters, obviously, the Wedding Toasters, the band. Hello, guys. So that's Anne, and that's George, and that's Selena, and myself, Daisy. And then I need to shout out also, obviously, to my little boy, Gabriel.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and Tom, who's our new bassist in the Toasters as well.
Yeah, don't forget Tom.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's absolutely fantastic. Well, it's been absolutely incredible having you in the studio. And you never know, perhaps we could get you in say, 6 months' time, and we could do like a revisited.
To see what
you guys have been up to. I just wonder, though, if a job ever came up as a crime scene photographer / investigator, what would you do?
I wouldn't take it, no.
Honestly, I wish you guys the absolute best of luck, and also thank you for just sharing some of that incredible tips and advice. And I really, really hope that we've inspired that one person to potentially, make the leap.
I was gonna say, if you're neurodiverse and you're worried about telling your employer or family or friends, you know, speak to someone first who's close to you, so you can build up the courage to tell the people that you need to tell.
Well, look, we're out of time. That's it. You've been listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And if you like this show, then tune in next week, where I'll be talking to another brilliant guest. Bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.